We praise him for those who are here and for those who wanted to be here but couldn't be here. God is good. And this morning, before the message, I want to deliver to you what I believe is important. You could call it prophecy. You could call it what you want, but I'm telling you by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that hard times are coming.
Come on, preacher.
I want you to understand this, and I'm going to give you some practical things that I want you to do according to what my understanding of the Spirit of the Lord is saying to me. This winter, whether this happens or not, I don't know, but I believe that this winter will be a winter in which you're going to have to be prepared to survive. And I don't know if it's this winter or coming winter, but I know this. I'm impressed to say to you, clean out your cars. Clean out your cars, every one of them. Pack them with supplies. Not just some of your cars, all of your cars. If you have more than one, clean out more than one. Pack more than one with blankets, food stuff, water, anything that will not perish. Just be prepared that if you are stranded, that you'll be able to survive.
Amen.
I pray that the Spirit of the Lord will guard the words that I'm speaking right now, and that the love of God will keep us in times of trouble. Amen. God bless you. This morning, I want to preach to you concerning how the church serves the community. Now, this was a message that we were asked to speak on yesterday, but we had 10 minutes, and so, you know, we gave an abbreviated version of it, but I want Love United to understand what it means to serve the community. Because we all live somewhere, and we all are called to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And one of the problems with loving our neighbors is that often our neighbors don't think like us. Often our neighbors don't feel like we feel. Often our neighbors don't act like us. And sometimes our neighbors don't look like us. But whether they look like us, feel like us, or act like us, God has called us to be those who serve those whom he desires to call into his kingdom. We call the place where people live community. Community. And then within the community, there are always other little subsets of that community. There is the community of believers. There's a community of unbelievers. There's a community of those who are wealthy. There are a community of those who are poor. There's a community of those who are uplifted. And they are a community of those who are downtrodden, but all together it just makes one community. And it is the community of God that we're interested in today, which is called the church. We're going to use for our scripture this morning Acts chapter 4, beginning at verse 31. Would you please turn to Acts chapter 4? In verse 31, when you have it, you can say amen.
Amen.
Acts It is important for us to do the work of God and to serve Him. And when the scripture reads, they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Hallelujah. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was given upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Now, those first five verses that we have read described something that took place during the formation of the early church. Remember, we are talking about community. And when we look at the word community, we see two words. First of all, we see the word common, and we see the word unity. Common unity is community. And it leads us to believe that in order to have a thriving community, that first of all, we must have some things in common, and that we must be unified in purpose. If there is a community that is divided, then that community cannot grow. And so Jesus even said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. We understand that to mean a whole lot of things. It means our homes where we are. Unless the home is unified in belief and purpose, that house can't stand. That home cannot survive. But we're going beyond home today, and we're talking about community. And we have just read some scriptures that elaborated on what happened in the early community of believers as they set out to serve God. First of all, we see in this verse that they didn't do anything until they had first prayed. It says, and when they had prayed. And so I'm saying to this church today that before we can effect change in anybody else, we have to come together and pray. If we are not willing to pray, we then are not willing to do what it takes place to empower us to create the change that God wants in this community. We must pray. I'm not talking about having a few minutes prayer saying, Lord, bless us. Lord, do this. Lord, do that. We need an intense hour of prayer. And I'm not talking about an hour as in time, but I'm talking about an attitude of prayer. It says, when they had prayed, guess what? When you pray, things happen.
Yes, it does.
Prayer makes things happen. Things happen when you pray. And look what it says here. Now, this is the community of believers. They prayed. It said, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken. Hallelujah. Where they were assembled together. So the kind of prayer that I'm talking about is not lighthearted prayer. It's the kind of intense and powerful prayer that will cause the house to shake. Now your house has got to be shaken before you're able to do anything for Jesus. How many understand that? Yes. Those who have not yet been shaken are not in a position, they're not yet qualified to do anything for the Lord. It needs to be a shaking, and the thing that produced the shaking is intense prayer. I wish somebody was praying with me this morning. Not only that, it said the house was shaken, but after the house shakes, something else has got to happen. It says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And you know, when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you just can't keep your mouth shut. I look out and I see so many people who have nothing to say, nothing vocal to add to the service of the living God. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, it causes you to speak. You've got something to say, or you got a song to sing. Yes, when the Holy Ghost moves on you, hallelujah, you're going to say something. Yes. You're going to sing something. You're going to open your mouth with some kind of praise. Yes. You just can't stand still. The only reason you're able to stand still, yes, is because you have not prayed. And we need to pray. Yes. Hallelujah. We need to pray so that the Holy Spirit will come upon us and anoint us for the work of the kingdom of the living God. Does this sound like nonsense to you? Well, the preaching of the gospel, Paul said, is foolishness to them that perish. So are you one of the ones who's perishing? If you're one of the ones who's perishing, and that means on your way to hell, then maybe this sounds like foolishness to you. But he said, unto us, it is the power of God unto salvation. Is that the thing that gives us the power to live a saved life? Hallelujah. But we're talking about community this morning, and we're talking about how the church serves the community. And the church, we find, can't serve the community unless it prays. An unpraying church can't save a soul. Hallelujah. 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 A church that won't pray won't move. A church that won't pray won't grow. A church that won't pray won't live. It'll die on the vine. A church that won't pray won't have the will of God. A church that won't pray won't know the mind of God. It won't know the hallelujah. We must pray, and we must be filled with the Holy Ghost. And it says, after they were filled with the Holy Ghost, what did it say they did? They all spake the word of God with boldness. With boldness. It causes you to say something, but it causes you to say it with boldness. With boldness means I'm not worried about what my neighbor thinks about what I'm saying or what I'm doing. I'm moved by the Spirit of the living God, and I want to please God. I'm not worried about praising God, or I'm not worried about what my buddy thinks about what I'm doing and whether praising God is valuable. I know in my heart that God wants me to praise him, and I'm bold enough to do it. Sometimes we have an image of God that is incorrect. I heard a man say one time, a great Bible teacher, Brother Derek Prince, who is deceased now, he said when he was young, he had a wrong image of God. His image of God was this gray-headed man that sat at the end, in an office at the end of this long corridor, behind this great big desk. And the last thing on earth that you ever wanted to do was to get called into that office.
Come on.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But that is the image of God which a lot of us have, and we actually fear approaching him. But God himself has said concerning his children, I delight to hear thy voice. And so we have to understand that we have the right to go in and speak boldly with our Heavenly Father. He's not the kind of God who's waiting to jump on us, to pounce on us, to condemn us, but he's a loving Father that wants to open his arms up and receive us. He understands what you're going through. You think you're the only one going through it, but you're not. You think you're going through it, guess what? Your mother and your father went through it just like you going through it. You think you're the only one that's going through it. You're not the only one. Your uncle and your aunt were going through it when they were growing up. You think you're the only one going through it. Guess what? Your grandfather and your grandmother were going through it when they were your age. Parents, you might think you're the only ones that going through it. But guess what? Your parents went through it.
Yes, sir.
Grandparents, you might think that you're the only one that's going through it. But guess what? Your grandmother went through it.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And you got to go through it. So there is no need for us to be discouraged and no need for us to fear that God is waiting with a spear. He's not that kind of God. And we understand that when we are filled with the Holy Ghost, we are really filled with his holy love. And when we're filled with his holy love, we love in a way like we've never loved before. We have the boldness to go before our Holy Father and receive what he has for us. Hallelujah. When the Holy Ghost comes upon us, we're able to speak the word with boldness. We're not ashamed to speak it in the streets. We're not ashamed to speak it on our jobs. We're not ashamed to speak it wherever we are. And when we carry that boldness in the Holy Ghost, the word of God, wherever we go, then we are affecting those who live in our community, because they begin to see in you something that is unique. You are important. What is this parade? What is this parade? Somebody take care of that. Hallelujah. They begin to see in you something that is unique.
Right. Amen.
The Bible says, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. One heart and of one soul. Mm-hmm. Now, I understand this word unity and how it relates to community. But when you start talking about you and me having the same heart, that's way beyond my comprehension.
Come on.
So having the same heart, because my will might be just a little different from yours. You know, my deep set passions might be a little different from yours. But the Bible says they were of one heart and one soul.
Amen.
One heart and one soul. I can understand how we can have the same goals in life, the same things to achieve. But you're talking about having the same heart and having the same soul. The soul is everything that we are, our personality. How can we all blend into one personality? Well, there must be one personality that we all can fit into. And the only acceptable personality that we can fit into is the personality of Jesus. That's the only way we can have one soul. Hallelujah. But they all managed to find out what Jesus was all about. And everybody wanted to be just like Jesus.
Well,
what a world this would be today if everybody wanted to be just like Jesus. Have that one soul. My soul to be like his soul.
Uh-huh.
Hallelujah. His soul was a soul, hallelujah, that did not see corruption. The Bible said, thou shalt not suffer, hallelujah, the soul of thy servant to see corruption. So 3 days after he went down in the grave, he came back up. His body did not decay. His soul did not, hallelujah, depart from him. His soul did not see corruption. And so they were of one mind, one heart, one soul with Christ. A soul that would not see corruption. Souls can be corrupted because of the influences of their environment. But guess what? When you have the soul that Jesus has given, that's why he saves your soul. Your soul needs to be saved. Your spirit came from God and it is of the God kind. But your soul is the thing that is unredeemed at this time, and it needs to be redeemed and brought in line and into unity with Christ. Why am I saying all of this? Because we have an idea that we come to serve the community. And I'm telling you right now, until we become of one heart and one soul with Christ, we can't serve anybody. And we need to bring ourselves on into line and bring ourselves into the place where Christ is the center of our lives.
Amen.
Hallelujah. When you get into that kind of place, in your passion, in your innermost being, in the mind of your spirit, and deep in your soul, you begin to understand some things. And so it says, neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. When you come into communion, and I want to show you, that's another word. You're talking about communion, common things in common, and being unified. There's a word that says it. It's called communion.
Uh-huh.
See, unity, common unity, and we're talking about common unity with Christ.
Amen.
A community has to be in communion. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. You see, yeah. Hallelujah. But it says nobody felt that what he possessed was his own. We have to come to the place in life where we understand something, that the physical things and the blessings that we have in this life, the physical things that we have been blessed with, the resources that we have been given to us for a reason. Not for us to gloat over, lord over, covet,
that's right,
or squander, but they have been given to us so that we can further bring glory to God.
That's right.
And so once they got into the right set of mind and they understood that nothing really belonged to them, they had no problem taking everything that they had. They sold it, and guess what they did? They redistributed the wealth of the entire community. Hallelujah. Nobody thought that his car belonged to him, but he used his car to help, hallelujah, the people around him. Hallelujah. That's a place we have to get to. Right now in the nation, there's a big argument going on as whether or not we need to tax the rich just a little higher so that they're paying an equal portion as some of us poor folk.
Come on.
And somebody says we shouldn't be giving to those lazy people. Let them get a job.
Uh-huh.
That's not the attitude of Christ. Those who believe don't think like that. We understand that what we have been given to bless somebody else with.
Amen.
We have not yet got to the point where we're willing to sell everything we have and redistribute the wealth.
Mm-hmm.
They say that's communism. They don't like that.
Uh-uh.
They say that's communism.
Uh-huh.
We like capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jesus must have been the greatest communist that there ever was, according to their definition.
Come on.
Hallelujah. The church must have been a communist organization, according to them. You use that word in such a negative sense till we lose sight on what God originally intended for his community to be. Because we find out that if we go down a little further, the scripture will say, and there was not one among them that lacked anything. And over, and I think in the RSV, it says there was not one feeble one among them. Hallelujah. Community. What good is a community? Everybody's suffering. And one man living in luxury. What good is a community? What good is the church? All of the parishioners are suffering. And the pastor living the life of luxury. What good is that? I would be kicked out of a whole bunch of churches. What good does it do? If you pay your tithes every week, and then at the end of the day, you can't pay your bills and you can't get no help from the church. See, a lot of people have figured this out. And some of them even try to scam the church. Call you on the telephone and say, you know, I'm a Christian. I need my gas and electric bill paid. I said, oh, you're a Christian? What church you belong to? Set and set and set. I said, go ask your pastor. Go ask your, what are you asking me for? Go ask your pastor. Well, they don't do that. I said, you must be in the wrong church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You must be in the wrong church. But the way the church has to work is when somebody's in need, the church has got to come at least to the rescue.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
We do what we can do. We do what we can do. We might not be able, and maybe we haven't come to the place yet where we're going to sell everything and redistribute the wealth. I hope one day we can get there.
Amen.
I really do hope one day we can get there. But right now, you know as well as I do, we're not there. But we need to learn to call those things that are not as though they were.
Amen.
Hallelujah. May the Lord help us to get there.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Yes,
neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. We need to learn to distribute to those who are in need. But I want you to understand one thing. While we're doing all of this, remember, we are talking about the community of believers.
Amen.
And why are we talking about the community of believers? Because the church has got to be right and healthy and strong itself before it can do anything for anybody else.
Amen.
That's what we have to understand. If you're going to help somebody, you need to help your brother. All right? At the same time, your witness of Christ has to be so strong that those who are on the outside acknowledge that there's something special going on with you in your life. And if they come and are willing to receive the gospel of Christ, there's no way that you can, within reason, turn them down. Because they have a desire to become a part of the community. Community.
Yes.
Having things in common and unified. One heart, one soul, all things in common. Nobody lacks. Now, everybody ain't going to drive the same car, but everybody might have one. Nobody lacks. Hallelujah.
Come on.
All right. Everybody might not wear the same clothes, but everybody got clothes. How many understand that? Hallelujah. Everybody may not live in the same house, but everybody got a house. You understand? Nobody lacked. We find that this principle, that if those who were of means were willing to sell and bring the money and lay the money at the apostles' feet and then let redistribution take place, that there's a plenty enough for everybody. Everybody. Plenty enough for everybody. The problem today is that folk take advantage of what you're trying to do. And it's not new, because in that day, people took advantage of the same thing. Everybody isn't as honest as you and I. Somebody will try to scam you, and somebody will try to scam me. The Bible says in verse 36, and Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. That's what he did. If you go beyond that, and I'm not going to read it, but you know the story. Also, there was a man named Ananias, and he had a wife named Sapphira. Now, this is after everybody was of one heart and one soul. After everybody had agreed what the plan for the community was going to be. Remember, they had prayed. They were full of the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak the word boldly. And they agreed to sell what they had and redistribute the wealth. Now, they're only talking about two people who redistributed wealth. Two people who had houses and land.
That's right.
Now, other people had possessions, but there were only two that had houses and land.
That's right.
And the Bible says when the redistribution was made, nobody lacked. So out of the whole community, we have to assume that Joseph and his family and Ananias and his family were very wealthy people because they had stuff valuable enough to redistribute to the entire community so that nobody lacked. That means that there's a power in your possession. You have power. The more blessed you are, the more required you are. The more is required of you. But it says here that Joseph sold his house and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, you got to trust somebody when you go sell your house and take your money and say,
"That's right.
Now, use this. Use this to bless the kingdom of God.
Amen.
It's all I got. Use it.
Amen.
Brother Ronnie, I'm giving you, and I just sold my, here. You take it and use it." And Ananias and Sapphira sold their house. But that evil thought came in. We ain't giving these Negroes out. Remember, they already had prayed and were already filled with what? The Holy Ghost. They already made an agreement. Who was there in the midst of the agreement? The Holy Ghost. Heard everything that they said. And then When they decided to change their mind, they didn't check with the Holy Ghost. But guess what they did? They decided, well, we'll just tell them that, look, now, we got 100,000 from our house. We'll give them 50. Maybe we'll give them 80. We'll keep this over here for hard times. The Lord helps those that help themselves. You heard that before. Apostle Ronnie, take this 80. Apostle Ronnie said, oh, wait a minute. 80? Is this what you sold your house for? Because everybody know what you sold your house for. Is this what you sold your house for? Oh, yeah. Boom. Ananias drops dead. Why? Because the apostle ain't stupid. He said, you have not lied unto men, but lied to the Holy Spirit. You lied to the Holy. Why? You was under the anointing when we made the decision.
That's right.
The Holy Ghost was present. Amen. He lives in you. Don't you know that once you receive the Holy Ghost, your lies are against the Holy Ghost? When you break your covenant, you're breaking your covenant with the Holy Ghost. And he dropped dead. And then later on in the evening, Sapphira comes along. And Apostle Ronnie, I guess they said, hey, Sister Sapphira, did you sell your house for such and such amount of money? Oh, yeah. Said, the guys that came to bury your husband are at the door to bury you.
That's right.
Because you lied to the Holy Ghost.
That's right. That's right.
We wonder why. The scripture says, all liars have their place in the lake that burns with fire. Lying is a serious thing. And the community of believers cannot afford to have in it liars, because that brings death to the community. And so in each one of us, we have to have the right spirit, not a lying spirit, but the spirit of truth.
Yeah.
Well, Jesus said, when he, the spirit of truth, is come, he shall convince the world of sin.
That's right.
And the spirit of truth convinced Ananias and Sapphira of sin.
That's right.
He showed them plainly what sin will bring. And the wages of sin is, amen. And so, in the beginning and strugglings of a community, the community of believers, before we can go out and affect the community of unbelievers to bring them in and make them one with us, we have to first unite ourselves, and we have to be in love with one another.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that means that anywhere that the name of Christ is named, we have to be at one with that place and with those people, where the name of Christ is glorified, because we are one community of believers. And so how do we serve the community of believers? We serve the community of believers with prayer, with the word of God, and with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And if we don't do that, then that community of believers will quickly begin to die on the vine.
Come on, preacher.
The enthusiasm with which they begin to execute their service to the Lord will quickly deteriorate. It is our job, it's our duty to inspire, and to remind you of the great, exceeding, and precious promises that God has in store for you.
Yes.
You are the chosen of God.
My.
You are the very elect of God.
Yes.
He delights to hear your voice. If you want to make God happy, let him hear your voice. But when God hears your voice, he takes great delight in it. Therefore, pray often. Pray without ceasing, it says. Sing songs of Zion. Say, comfort one another in hymns, songs, it says. Songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. That ought to bring comfort to your heart. Because just like God loves to hear the voice of his people, so does his people love to hear the voices of other folk who love him the way they do. So it is the melodious sound of praise that ignites, uplifts, and revitalizes the whole church, the whole community of believers. We serve one another with our prayers. We serve one another with our songs. And we serve one another with the word of God. And unless we serve, we are of no use at all. Now, don't get mad, but I'll tell you what Sonny Corbett used to say all the time. He was the choir director. You are of no use unless you serve. You're only of value when you serve. If you're not serving, you are of no value. And it's really the truth. Hallelujah. So today, I'm asking, how many will serve the Lord? Hallelujah. How many will serve the community of believers? Hallelujah. Serve the community of believers. And you will have a great reward in heaven. Not only that, but you'll have a great reward down here, even on earth. Hallelujah. There's no man that has left father and mother. See, sometimes you don't want to leave your father and your mother. Hallelujah. For the sake of the kingdom of God. Sometimes you'll leave it so you can get a wife, but you don't want to leave him for the sake of the kingdom. Hallelujah. But he said, no one who leaves father or mother for my sake, anybody that does that, he says, it will have a reward not only in the life to come, but even in this life. Hallelujah. So this morning I encourage everyone to serve the community of believers. Get in touch with Jesus. Become a church filled with prayer. And we had a lot of pretty prayers. We used to those. But we need some prayers that just tear you down. Empty you out. And fill you with what you need to be filled with. In Jesus' name, God bless you this morning. Amen.